Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to refuah shlema, a complete recovery for Sharon Katz, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have three subjects that we want to discuss on the program. I hope that we'll be able to cover all the territory that we want to cover because it's a lot of things that we want to speak about. The first subject is going to be Jared Kushner, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, the evil son-in-law of Donald Trump, gave an interview and spoke, and we're going to discuss the horrible things that he said and really, we're really going to demonstrate what his terrible intentions are for Israel and how dangerous he is to Israel. And the second thing we want to discuss is the claim that Donald Trump is about to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. First of all, I don't know that that's going to happen. And second, if it does happen, it's not something that will help Israel. It's not something that's beneficial to Israel. It has no value, completely worthless to Israel, and may even hurt Israel. And the third thing we want to discuss is the tax cut that supposedly passed in the Senate and in the House. It's a tax cut for billionaires, but a tax increase for the middle class and for working people. And finally, the fourth subject we want to discuss involves Torah Judaism, the world to come, and concepts involving Ha'olam Haba. Ha'olam Haba means the world to come. What will the next world be like? The world of eternity. How should we be looking at it? Obviously, our ability to understand it is going to be limited, but in our own limited way, how should we look at the prospect of a world of eternity? First of all, let's start off with Jared Kushner. Because if there's one thing that the apologists and supporters of the evil Donald Trump have told us over and over again, it's that, well, he has a Jewish son-in-law, so of course he's going to be good for Israel. On the contrary, if there's one thing history has taught us, especially recent history, it's that having Jews in high places is terrible for Israel. The Jews that get to high places almost invariably, almost always, stab Israel and the Jewish people in the back and are worse than the most vicious anti-Semites. They do more harm to Israel than the most vicious anti-Semites, whether it's Henry Kissinger or the self-hating Jews in the Senate and in the House and the Congress. They are, or the self-hating Jews in Hollywood, or the self-hating Jews in the news media, they are worse than the most vicious Jew haters. And Jared Kushner is no exception. He has been working to hurt Israel and undermine Israel so that he could get a deal, so that he could show that he can engineer a deal. He's been working to do this since before Trump's inauguration as president, even before the election, he was planning this. And now, he's come out quite openly in saying what he believes. He has said that Israel must solve the so-called Palestinian problem, and there must be so-called peace between Israel and so-called Palestinians. There must be peace between Israel and so-called Palestinians in order for Israel to have relations with the Arab world. In order for Israel to be recognized by Saudi Arabia and Arab countries, Israel has to agree to solve the so-called Palestinian problem. First of all, that filthy, lying pig Jared Kushner should know that there, and not that he cares because he's completely amoral and his decisions are not based on morality or truth, but morality and truth dictate that we understand that there is no Palestine and there are no Palestinian people and never was. There never was a Palestinian people in history. This is a hoax and a lie. There was never a Palestinian state. There was never a nation of Palestine. There was never a Palestine people. The term Palestine was invented by the Roman Emperor Hadrian because he couldn't pronounce Plishtim were the Philistines, and he wanted to name the land after Israel's most vicious, murderous, idol-worshipping, evil, monstrous enemies, the Philistines, because the Romans wanted to destroy the Jewish people and destroy any Jewish connection to Israel, and so they named the land Palestine after the Philistines. The Philistines themselves had no right to any part of the land and were conquerors in the land from a foreign area. They had no right to come there, just as the Arabs have no right to be there. The Arabs who are in the land of Israel came to the land of Israel from other parts of the Middle East, from the Arab world, to take over that land. It is not their land, never was, never will be. And they never, never created a separate nation called Palestine or a separate Palestinian people. That has never existed at any time in history. And they themselves, the Arab leaders themselves, always said there is no such thing as a Palestinian people until the 1960s. Until the 1960s, they themselves always said there's no such thing as a Palestinian people, that they're all Arabs, that they're all part of the Arab world. Now, having said all of that, the purpose of the so-called Palestinian state is to destroy Israel. It's national suicide for Israel. And Jared Kushner wants Israel to create a Palestinian state. This is what he said. He went to Chaim Saban's conference. Chaim Saban is an Israeli billionaire who lives in Los Angeles, who left Israel and lives in Los Angeles, and has given tens of millions of dollars to the Clintons and to all the enemies of Israel, and promotes so-called peace. He's a self-hating traitor. And he held a conference, and he invited another self-hating traitor, Jared Kushner, to come and speak at the conference. And Jared Kushner there said that Israel must agree to a final peace agreement. In other words, the final solution for Israel must agree to this final peace agreement. Otherwise, we can't solve the problems involving Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries. And for Saudi Arabia is willing to work with Israel if only Israel will agree to a so-called Palestinian state. Of course, because Saudi Arabia and the Persian Gulf countries want Israel to commit suicide. They always did. They've always wanted that. They've spent billions of dollars trying to destroy Israel. They spent billions of dollars propagandizing against Israel and the Jewish people all over the world, and still are spending that money. So of course they want Israel to do this. And of course they're going to say, oh, if you just agree to a so-called Palestinian state, and if you just go back to the suicidal pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide, then we'll recognize you. What does recognize mean? Recognize Israel? Big deal. They recognize the reality that Israel exists. All the Arabs recognize that Israel exists. They don't recognize the right of Israel to exist and the right of the Jewish people to have a Jewish state in the land of Israel. That they don't recognize. But they recognize the reality that Israel exists, and this is the little word game that they play. It's called taqiyya in Arabic. It's what Muhammad commanded all Muslims to do. Taqiyya means deception. You're supposed to deceive the infidels. And Jared Kushner is playing along with this 100%. Because Jared Kushner has business dealings. He's a billionaire and his family are billionaires. And he has business dealings with the Arab world and with the Persian Gulf countries and with Saudi Arabia. And he's making a lot of money out of this. And he wants to be the famous great diplomat that brought so-called peace to the Middle East. And if he has to sacrifice Israel to do so, he's more than happy to do so. So he's telling Israel that Israel has to agree to these suicidal concessions. Jared Kushner, Jason Greenblatt, and the other self-hating Jews working for Trump have, together with Trump, told Israel, you're not allowed to build settlements. You're not allowed to have Jews living in Judea and Samaria. You're not allowed to have Jews even living in Jerusalem, Israel's capital. We don't want you to allow any more Jews to move into Jerusalem, Israel's capital. They have pushed this policy. They've pushed the Obama anti-Israel policy. There's been no change. no change in the Obama anti-Israel policy during the Trump administration. It's worse now. It's worse now because at least when Obama was president, there was resistance because the Israeli people hated Obama. With Trump, they've been brainwashed to think that because he has a Jewish son-in-law, that somehow he's better for Israel. He's not better in any way. He's worse. He's more dangerous. And that's why Jared Kushner was the one who was behind. He was the one who engineered the sale of $110 billion worth of the most sophisticated American weaponry to Saudi Arabia, a deal that endangers Israel in every way. And in fact, Trump has claimed that eventually the deals that his son-in-law Jared Kushner have worked out with the Saudis will eventually come to $350 billion. Do you know what $350 billion in sales would mean? It would be the most massive arms sale in world history, from any country to any other country. Never in world history has any country sold so much weaponry to another country. By far the most massive in world history. It's 100 times as much as the arms sales that Obama did with Saudi Arabia. Trump is giving the Saudis, Israel's enemies, 100 times as much sophisticated weaponry as Obama did. And still, the self-hating, ghetto-minded, cowardly Jews who back Trump will tell us that Trump is a friend of Israel and that Jared Kushner is a Jewish son-in-law. His Jewish son-in-law is the one that arranged this agreement, giving Saudi Arabia $350 billion. And now his Jewish son-in-law is telling Israel that she has to accept a Palestinian state. Palestinian state means Israel goes back to pre-1967 borders, and Israel is 6 to 9 miles wide. You think Israel can survive if she's 6 to 9 miles wide? Are those defensible borders when she's surrounded by 500 million Arab and Iranian Muslims that want to push the Jews into the sea? They are outnumbered 100 to 1. And if they go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide, you think the Israeli Jews can defend themselves in those borders? Complete suicide, complete insanity. And now they dangle this thing that Trump is going to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Big deal. And the Jews are so, will he do it? Won't he do it? He doesn't want to move the embassy, the American embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which also, by the way, I couldn't care less where the American embassy is. This in no way affects Israel's survival or security. The only thing that affects Israel's survival and security is if you move Jews to Jerusalem, not the American embassy. You need to move more Jews into Jerusalem because if the more Jews that are in Jerusalem, the harder it is for Israel to give up any part of it. That's what would be ensuring Israel's security. And moving more Jews into Judea and Samaria, which is something Jared Kushner and Donald Trump have been pressuring Israel relentlessly not to do. Now Trump says, well, I can't move the American embassy to Jerusalem. Big deal. Even if you could, who cares? But he knows that the Jews, oh, they so much, they want to be recognized. They want to be recognized so badly. Oh, we want to be recognized. What a sick mentality. Who the hell cares where the damn embassies are? Who the hell cares if they recognize or don't recognize? This is just so sick. It's beyond belief. It's a Kiddush Hashem. It's sanctifying God's name when the nations of the world don't recognize it and Israel's all alone and still wins miraculous victories. That is truly a Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying God's name. When Israel begs for the world to love us and respect us and recognize us, that is a Chilul Hashem. That's a desecration of God's name. And again, so now Trump might issue a statement saying that he recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital, but he's not going to move the embassy there. And by the way, the United States always was willing to recognize West Jerusalem as Israel's capital, the western part of Jerusalem, and the eastern part of Jerusalem would be the capital of a so-called Palestinian state. Obama would, that's something Obama would do. Ah, just beyond belief, the stupidity, the insanity, the cowardice in this generation. Tragic, really tragic. And that's why JTF is so essential. We're the only ones that tell the truth about this. The only ones that tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to the people of Israel. And if you want them to get this message, you want, if you want them to see more of our videos, you have to help us with our advertising campaign. We're reaching the people of Israel, but we reach, the more you help us, the more people we reach. So that's Israel. And now we had the tax cuts this week. Tax cuts, but not for you. No tax cuts for you. The Senate and the House versions will increase taxes for middle-income wage earners. In other words, middle-income people, middle-class people will pay higher taxes, and the super-rich and the multimillionaires, the people that are earning millions of dollars every year, they pay much less. They get a huge tax cut. And middle-class people get a tax increase. I mean, this is the exact opposite of everything Trump promised. The exact opposite of what Ronald Reagan did when he was president. When Ronald Reagan was president, it's true the rich also got a tax cut when Reagan was president, but the middle class benefited, and everybody benefited under Reagan's tax cut. Under Trump's plan, the middle class get a tax increase. And it's not just Chaim Ben Pesach saying this. This is what studies have shown. Studies have shown that your taxes are going up under this plan. That certainly by the year 2027, middle class people on average will be paying higher taxes. Certainly by then, middle class people will be paying higher taxes, certainly toward the end of this plan. And until then, a very large percentage of middle class people are going to pay higher taxes immediately, starting with next year's taxes. Because you won't be able to deduct state and local taxes that you're paying on your federal taxes anymore. You won't be able to make that deduction. And you won't be able to deduct property taxes. If you pay property tax, if you own a home, you won't be able to deduct the property taxes anymore. And again, state and local taxes, those people who pay state and local taxes in states like New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey and Massachusetts and all these other states, In those states where people do pay state taxes, you won't be able to make the deduction anymore. And there are many other things that are being cut out that squeeze the middle class. And so the middle class are getting a tax increase. Most of you are going to pay higher taxes because of this. What a farce. What a farce. And again, you could have had Ted Cruz, who was going to cut taxes across the board for everybody. You could have had a real president, a real leader, but no, you wanted Donald Trump, who wants to benefit himself and his family and his billionaire friends at the expense of the middle class. The middle class is going to pay higher taxes so that the billionaires can get a tax cut. That's a great plan. Let's go on to Torah Judaism. You know, the concept of eternity, of living for eternity in the next world, because ba'olam haba, in the next world, people will live lanetzach, forever. And so the question is, how do we relate to that in this world? Because we're finite beings, and we only understand limitations of time and space. So in a world where there won't be any limitations of time and space, we can't comprehend that even. We can't even comprehend the concept. Just to give you a little bit of an example so that we can try to understand what you're losing if you don't have a place in the next world, and what you're gaining if you do. Let's assume the whole Earth was transformed into giant beach, giant areas of sand. Just like you have sand on the beach, grains of sand on the beach, billions and billions of grains of sand on beaches around the world. Let's make the whole world, let's assume we made the whole Earth, nothing but grains of sand. Massive grains of trillions and trillions of grains of sand. If you took one grain of sand out of those trillions of grains of sand, and the whole world is grains of sand, and you took just one grain of sand out of those trillions every 70 years, how long would it take, if you were doing one grain of sand every 70 years, how long would it take before you would finish collecting all the sand in the world? The trillions of grains. Think about that. Because even that doesn't come close to telling you what eternity is. Eternity is way beyond that. Eternity is beyond living for millions of years, or billions of years, or trillions of years, or zillions of years, or any other zeros that you want to put in the equation. Eternity means eternity. How could people not want to do everything they could to be part of that? How could you not want that? How could you be willing to give that up for the ridiculous temporary things of this world, the ridiculous things of this world? And of course, you'll always have the assimilated Jews, or even sometimes good Jews, who unfortunately the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, tells them, gives them excuses, and so they'll say, but my intentions are good. It's true I don't observe Shabbat, and it's true I don't eat kosher, and it's true I'm not doing anything to help JTF reach the Jews of Israel, and I don't make Aliyah, and I don't do all these other things. That's all true. But my intentions are good. My intentions are good. It's what's in my heart that counts. That's another saying that they'll use. It's what's in my heart that counts. It's my intentions are good. Your intentions are good? You think that that's going to get you into the next world? Your intentions are good? Without action? Without doing what Hashem commands us to do? If you, at work, you go to work, let's say you work in an office, and you tell your boss you're not going to show up for work. I don't have to show up for work. My intentions are good. It's what's in my heart that counts. I don't have to actually show up for work. I don't have to actually do the job. It's my intentions that count. It's my heart is in the right place. What if you told that to your boss? Would your boss pay you a salary? Should he pay you a salary? What if you tried that in school? If you're going, let's say, to a college, high school, college, any school situation, yeshiva, any school situation, you go to a college, and you don't show up for class, and you don't take the tests, and you don't do anything, but you want to still get a diploma. After all, your intentions are good. Your heart is in the right place. True, you didn't take the tests, you didn't go to class, you didn't do anything else, you didn't do the term papers, you didn't do anything, but your intentions are good. Do you think anybody would give you a diploma based upon you saying your intentions are good? Or should they? Let's say that you're married and you do that with your wife. You say to your wife, oh, you know, my intentions are good. I really love you, you tell your wife. I really love you. You tell your wife 100 times a day you love her. You send her messages, you send her emails, you tell her how much you love her, but you're not going to go out and work and get and pay the bills, and you're not going to do anything for her. You don't help her in the house. You don't pay any bills. You don't do anything for her. You just tell her. It's just words. Do you think a normal woman would put up with that? Or if you have children, you're a parent and you have children, you tell your children, my intentions are good. My heart is in the right place. My heart is in the right place. But you don't feed your children. You don't clothe your children. You don't send them to school. You don't teach them. You don't educate them. You don't bring them up. You just let them do anything they want and wander in the streets. But you say, well, my intentions are good. I love my children. I love my children. Saying your intentions are good and saying your heart is in the right place doesn't work in any situation. And it's not going to work with God either. That will not work on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment. Action speaks louder than words. God is not going to judge you based on intentions. He's going to judge you based on action. And so, we are required to do things. And, you know, there are some religious organizations in the Jewish community that the only thing they talk about is laying tefillin, putting on tefillin every day, which is very important and you should do it. Eating kosher, which is very important and you should do it. Observing Shabbat, which is very important and you should do it. But they don't talk about the other thing. They don't talk about how you should make aliyah, because many of them don't make aliyah. Many of them don't move to Israel. The mitzvah of moving to Israel is equal to all the other mitzvot, it says. It says that he who lives outside of Israel, it says in the Talmud, he who lives outside of Israel, it is as if he has no God. And he who lives in Israel, it is as if he has a God. So the fact that they ignore the need to make aliyah, to live in Israel, and the whole issue of the land of Israel, the fact that they ignore the need to fight for your fellow Jews and stand up for what's right. They see, the Haredim have turned Judaism into a personal thing. You must eat kosher. You must observe Shabbat. You must put on tefillin every day, which is all true. You should do that. All of those things you should do, no question about it. And if you do those things, you're more likely to do the other things that we're going to talk about, which is what you should be doing for your fellow Jews and to make this a better world. But not to talk about your obligation to fight for your fellow Jews, whether it's in the land of Israel or whether it was for the Jews during the Holocaust or whether it was for Soviet Jewry or any other battles in history where all these religious Jews and rabbis and others, in most cases, sat back and did nothing. They did nothing, just like the non-religious Jews did nothing. So, you know, their concept of Judaism is very lacking if they're going to do nothing in a situation like that. Because the great Jews of history were all fighters. They were all Jewish activists and revolutionaries. Whether it was Avraham or Yitzchak or Yaakov, Avraham fought against four kings who had four empires to free Lot, his nephew. He was a warrior, Avraham. Yitzchak was a warrior. Yaakov and his sons, we saw what they did in Shechem, where they slaughtered all the males in Shechem because their sister was raped by the leader of Shechem. These were warriors. The heroes, the Jewish heroes of the Bible, the true Jewish heroes of Torah Judaism are all warriors. And the Mashiach will be a warrior. The Mashiach will not be Harry Potter, contrary to what the Haredim teach. The Mashiach will not be a magician, and he will not be Harry Potter. The Mashiach will be like Bar Kokhba was. That's why Rabbi Akiva and all the rabbis of that generation thought that Bar Kokhba was going to be the Mashiach, and he would have been the Mashiach if he had acted righteously. He didn't. He had free will. He didn't act righteously, and so we lost that great opportunity for complete and final redemption. But Bar Kokhba represented. Bar Kokhba, a soldier, a warrior, a liberator, a conqueror, someone who fought against the Romans and liberated the land of Israel and was restoring Jewish sovereignty to the land. That was a person who was qualified and who fit the role of becoming the Mashiach, of becoming the Messiah, of becoming the Redeemer. Not Harry Potter. Not somebody who pulls rabbits out of a hat. And don't get me wrong, it is very important to eat kosher and observe Shabbat and observe the Chagim and observe the holidays. Very, very important. Very, very. And the Jewish people will disappear, God forbid, if they don't do those things. Those things are essential for the Jewish people to survive. No question about it. You should do that. Absolutely essential. But to do only that and not speak about the national aspect of being a Jewish patriot and a fighter for the Jewish people and an activist for the Jewish people. That defeats the whole point of our being in this world. If you don't love your fellow Jews and love the land of Israel and not willing to sacrifice and don't care about these issues, you're a joke. You're a hypocrite if you don't. And so, Kahanism means true Judaism, means fighting for the Jewish people, fighting for Jewish rights and Jewish honor and for the land of Israel, and observing all of the personal mitzvot in the Torah as well. Both have to be done. And you can't just say my intentions are well, my intentions were good, or my heart was in the right place. God knows what my intentions are. Your intentions don't add up to a hill of beans if you don't do something. When someone's drowning in the river, you're going to say my intentions are good, but I don't want to get wet. I don't want to get, listen, let them drown. My intentions are good, though I wish they weren't drowning. Oh, wonderful. We need to reach the people of Israel with this message. We need to save Israel. That's really why we're in this world. And yes, you're in this world also because of your family and your loved ones, and you should be doing everything you can for your loved ones and your family. But you have to think about other people's families and other loved ones as well. Because we're more than just concerned about ourselves and our own little circle. We're in this world to fight for righteousness and idealism and justice. For Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. If we brought that message to the Jewish people, and we taught the Jews to be idealists and warriors again, warriors for righteousness and truth and justice and true Jewish faith, when we do that, then we can bring redemption. Then we can change things. Then we can make the historic difference that Hashem wants us to make. That's the whole point of our existence, the whole reason why we're in this world. That was the message of our great leader, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu HaRab Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo. And it's the true message of the Torah. Help us, join with us, fight with us for what's right. Together, we can still make this a better world if we fight together as a team. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.